really stupid.
Hey, and today's Living in Las Vegas. You know, it's like we went from 0 to 100 miles an hour when it comes to pro sports here in town. It used to be we had nothing. Now we've got pro hockey with the Blackhawks, Silver Knights, Spider Monkeys, whatever we're called. And who's knocking at the door now? Well, the Raiders. Of course, we have to decide, should we answer that knock or maybe just put up a no soliciting sign? We're going to debate that today. Plus, we've got real quick stories, live chat questions, listener email, and of course, have a drink on me. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast, where this season's Raiders is brought to you by the good people at Supercuts. Where we're going to bowl you over with our hairstyles.
Get it?
Let's get started.
Living in Las Vegas starts now.
Multiple cameras, baby.
Do I get writing credit for that, though? Because I provided it to you this morning.
Just be happy that it was used.
It was funnier when I told it, to be quite honest.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada. That groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. The Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host,
yes,
a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
There's a theft they're investigating.
Scott Whitney.
To give me an award. Congratulations on your jokes, Mr. Whitney. You're hysterical. Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. And allow me to be the first to congratulate you because you are watching or listening to the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from just Las Vegas. It's kind of just looking for Las Vegas here. Just hit
New Raider Stadium.
Okay, that's great. Which means we're not only going to cover what it's like to live here. No, we're going to talk about our adventures on the Strip, Fremont Street, downtown, other cool places here in the Valley. And by the way, if you're a tourist, if you're a fan of our fair city, well, this show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and gloovy. Hey, we're live every Tuesday at 7 o'clock Pacific time at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Again, VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. I'd invite you to be a part of the live show. Get yourself in the live chat. Some of the coolest people you're ever going to see. People here an hour before we even get started. Why? Because they hold electronic hands and sing Kumbaya. Ready? Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. Are these people who are in the room with you? No. They're in Las Vegas. They're in Henderson. They're in Oregon, Florida, Austin, Texas, Michigan, Rochester, Massachusetts, Ontario, Canada, International. Oh. What? New Hampshire. We've got them in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and of course, the Mecca known as Merced, California. They're everywhere, ladies and gentlemen, singing electronic Kumbaya. Hey, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa. Buenas noches. How you doing? Hot stuff. Great to have you here. I am the founder of the Vegas Video Network, so thank you very much for supporting this show and all of the shows on the network. I can speak on behalf of all the hosts when I say muchas gracias, mi amiga, or mi amigo. And I'm joined by my good friend. He has been a longtime contributor to this thing called the Vegas Video Network. He's young, he's a little naive, but God bless him, he's pretty like a girl. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Pimpin' Wayne, everybody.
I can't help, you know. That's what God gave me. Be a shame not to use it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You are a bit of a whore. Over under, my friend.
I was like 5 minutes less.
You're 5 minutes off.
It was real close. So I'm going to say 87 plus 5, because I was 5, so 92.
87 plus 5 is 92. Hour and a half. We're going
and
long.
Two.
Okay.
All yeah. Right, fine. I'm passionate about this.
I know you are. This should be fascinating. I also want to thank those of you who sent in the intro videos. We've got a couple in the queue, and we'll fire one of those up again next week. But this is a topic that could go a little while.
It is. I wasn't even supposed to be here tonight.
No, I will explain why you weren't supposed to be here and why, in fact, you are here. The reason why he wasn't supposed to be here is referred to as a restraining order.
Yeah.
I asked to lift it.
Within 50 yards, yeah.
Right. So as we said in the opening, the question is, should the Raiders move to Las Vegas? It really is kind of, first of all, you have to say, you got to feel kind of bad for the hockey folks, the Black Knights, the whatever.
They're down to three. Did you see this? They're down
Black
to three.
Black Knights, the something Hawks.
No, Silver Knights. No, NHL trademarked three names, Silver Knights, Golden Knights, or Desert Knights.
Ah.
Hawks is gone.
Oh, okay.
It flew away.
Okay. Silver Knights, I'm guessing. But you got to feel bad for these guys because when they came in here, they had 14,000 season ticket buyers. Everybody was talking about them. It was all of that, a bag of chips. And mm-hmm. I'm like, and in the beginning, I was like, eh. But then I got kind of caught up. I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of neat. And you know, they're finally allowing a pro sports team in here. That's kind of neat. So I got behind it. And mm-hmm. then
lots of people did.
So they got the okay. Yep. They're like, hey, what? Hello? Is this thing on? We were the important guys. They can't get any press right now.
It's rough.
It's because of the Raiders.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to set the stage here for what's happening with this stadium. The Review Journal, which is owned by one of the people who wants this stadium.
The family of.
Yeah. And there's actually some issues there that I'll remember to bring up later. But they wrote an article about this.
Several.
Actually written about five.
Yeah.
About the final offer, if you will, when it comes to this stadium. So I'm going to read this to you just to get everybody up to speed, and then we'll chat a little bit about what that means for folks. So developers of proposed 65,000 seat football stadium have zeroed in on a site at a budget of $1.9 billion. That's B for a billion.
You got a dollar? You got cha-ching? You need a cash register.
Oh, I should do. I do have that stamp. Well, I have that. No.
Oh, there we go.
I have it.
Ching-ching with the cash register.
And they told a special committee Thursday that if $750 million in hotel room taxes revenue isn't authorized for the project, the dome could bring the NFL's Oakland Raiders to Las Vegas won't be built. So representatives of Sands, and Sands, by the way, is the folks who own Venetian Palazzo. That's what Sheldon Ander, or whatever his fucking name is.
Adelson.
Adelson, yeah. So representatives of the Sands and Majestic Realty and the Oakland Raiders told the Southern Nevada Tourism Infrastructure Committee that their preferred stadium site acreage is around Interstate 15. It's right across from Mandalay Bay, north of Russell Road. So it's west of Mandalay Bay, north of Russell Road. And that a purchase agreement is already in place, although the officials did not provide details of the price for the seller. Huh, interesting. The Bally High Golf Club on Las Vegas Boulevard, south of Russell, is the developer's second choice. Bally High used to be a really nice golf club. I think it's I'm not sure if it's in disrepair, but it's really not, hasn't got the juice like it used to. Okay. So based upon the site and the cost of the land improvements, developers have estimated a cost of $1.9 billion, $1.3 billion for the stadium, $375 million for land and infrastructure improvements, $100 million for the Raiders practice facility, and $100 million for contingency cost. Under the development proposal, the public would put up $750 million, or 39% of the cost, so they would actually be the largest owner of this thing, and private investors would cover the remaining 61%, $650 million from Sands and $500 million from the Raiders. It's actually not accurate. It's not $500 from the Raiders. It's $500 from the NFL and a variety of other guys that go into the Raiders. So the Raiders aren't actually coming up with $500 million themselves, just so you know. Committee Chairman Steve Hill and Rob Goldstein, President and Chief Operating Officer of Sands, said the public would own the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
The stadium would be operated by its own seven-member authority. The developers reiterated that without the $750 million in room tax funding, the financial plan will collapse. The committee previously had discussed a reduced public contribution of $550 million. There's some pictures of it, you know, and the pictures are gorgeous. It looks fantastic. Sands chairman and CEO Sheldon Anderson would walk away from it and say, "We tried our best," Goldstein told the committee. He also said the perception that $750 million room tax would be funneled to Adelson, the developers, is inaccurate, although I don't really know anybody who's thought that. The notion that the money is going to Adelson is not only wrong, but stupid, Goldstein told the committee. I don't know who this Goldstein is, but you can tell one thing. The guy's a charmer.
Well, I mean.
And his charm continues. Let me continue with
that. Oh, please do.
The Raiders also made a presentation at the meeting that includes images and maps and pictures. The presentation showed what the room tax increase. So what they're saying here is a 0.7 point increase in tax would produce the $550 million, which they don't want, but a 0.88% point increase would raise the $750 million. Based upon a room tax of $109, a visitor would pay $13 on the existing 12% room tax. A proposed 0.5% increase for the Las Vegas Convention Center would add additional 55 cents. The stadium tax would increase 96 cents, depending on the level of funding. Okay, so I do have to speak a little bit to that.
Okay.
Maybe I'll actually do that in a second, because it's pretty funny what they did. No organization really opposed it, has surfaced. Some people showed up and said, please don't do that. Okay. Mm. So
keep that anywhere.
Yeah. No one's going after it aggressively yet. So here's the one thing that I thought was funny about the announcement is what they really said was this is a take it or leave it proposition.
That never came out. That's exactly the way it was framed.
No, that's actually what he said. What he said was, the quote was...
He said was the amount's non-negotiable.
Oh, yeah. That's the same thing.
When you paraphrase.
It actually says this. Not to be difficult, but we are not negotiable,
right,
said Sands President Rob Goldstein, speaking on behalf
of the billionaire. So take it or leave it as a paraphrasing.
If we can't get $750, we respectfully thank you, but we're going to move on.
Yep.
Okay. So are you comfortable with that positioning?
Yeah, I don't have $600 million to throw in or $650 million to throw in behind it. So yeah.
Okay, so
it's their money. I mean,
from a negotiating standpoint, that's just utter bullshit. And
it's not a negotiation; it's an offer.
No, it is a negotiation, and I think that's the wrong way to approach this. There's a couple of things that I think are interesting about this, and the first has to do with their belief in how it will affect the finances of Las Vegas.
Okay.
And they've all said that it's a big win. For example, they use one of the examples of, you know, having a Super Bowl here would be a huge monstrous win. And they compared it to what happened in San Francisco. The challenge with that whole analogy, of course, is it's false. In that, every weekend is Super Bowl weekend here. We get what they get every weekend. And when Super Bowl happens, wherever it happens, it happens here more than anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So the truth is that piece of it was a lie and it didn't really help anybody. Let me continue.
Okay. Not sure it was lied about, but okay.
Well, it's a lie. It doesn't make any sense because they're comparing a place that was actually in deep shit, San Francisco, to a place that thrives because of the Super Bowl, no matter where in the country it is. So that was just fluff and not groovy stuff. Now, here's the thing and they also speak of media exposure being helpful to that. I also think that's bullshit. No, there's no town that gets more media exposure than Las Vegas, so I don't think that's a real thing.
Oh, I completely disagree.
Well, I don't. Well, go ahead and tell me. What you think?
I mean, why do you think, remember about several years ago, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, there's actually a ban on commercials involving Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. Kia did one where the little Japanese anime creatures drove down the strip and went to a nightclub. I mean, every week when every bar's got Sunday ticket, every restaurant, people, fantasy football participation is at an all-time high. You got the DraftKings, the FanDuel. Every, you know, for 8 weeks or 10 weeks when they do those flyovers, the Las Vegas Strip is instantly recognizable. Right. When they fly over Buffalo or Cincinnati or Baltimore, I can't tell that what cityscape that is.
What's your point?
Las Vegas is instantly recognizable.
I understand that. We don't need anything else to do that.
Oh, you don't like free advertising?
It doesn't matter. We get free advertising. Okay. We get more free advertising than any city in the world. It's free. Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas is the most effective sales campaign ever. We don't.
And how often is it put in front of people?
Every fucking day.
Oh, so Tom and Susie in Poughkeepsie see what happens in Las Vegas every day. No,
every
they don't.
They think they do. Oh my God, they absolutely do.
Oh, they do.
So
not.
if the argument for this is simply we get more PR,
That's a point. That's not an argument for this.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about. If they would just do the math is fine. So they did this something that was hysterical. A lot of us laughed at this. They used a Venetian room charge and said, let me just show you guys what the difference is, what it's going to cost to get our 750.
Tusha?
Huh?
Should we go to
Tusha? Oh, sorry. Thank you.
I mean, we're getting a lot of good reaction on me listening to you. But
Thank you. I appreciate that. So what they did is they said, here's a room charge. Venetian, $109. The existing room tax is $12 or 12%. The convention center is 0.5%, it's 55 mm-hmm. cents. And the stadium projection is about 96 cents. So, have you stayed at the Venetian?
Not typically, I don't know.
Do you think you could ever get a room there for $109?
Probably not.
No. $309?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's $3. It's not $1.
Well, it's $1 per every 100.
Yeah, I know what
it is.
It's 1%.
Do the math, yeah.
But it's 80. It's 0.88%.
Uh-huh.
The point is this.
Okay.
They came in low, and it looked shady. It didn't make any sense. Nobody spent. The people who were reading that were like, what the fuck? Nobody can get a $109 room at Venetian.
You can get a $109 room lots of places.
Not at the fucking Venetian, you can. Well,
there's more than one hotel on the Strip.
But they actually use a Venetian logo, and the whole thing was a Venetian graphic. It was hysterical.
It's universally applicable. So it doesn't matter if it's the Venetian or Excalibur or Circus.
What it said was, so Sheldon's like, oh yeah, and then make it $109. That fucker's never sold that thing for $109 to anybody. Okay, now. Let's talk
to be
about
fair, I think $109 is the average rate on the Strip for a room.
The fuck it is?
No, I think it is.
No.
The average daily, for 2015, the average daily room rate was $119.94.
Yeah, but that includes rooms that people don't go to. Like, for example, Stratosphere, for example.
It's on the Strip.
Okay, here's the point. Why do you think it's fair for tourists to pay for this? Which isn't completely honest, but because there's I'll say this first. So they get their revenue from two things. One of them is from the room tax, which is primarily a tourist-based driven thing.
Okay.
So they get billed for it, okay. and they're not going to use it.
Okay.
And they're also going to.
They also don't use our public schools.
Yeah, but different because it. But here's why it's different, Wayne.
Okay.
If it goes to public schools, and it does, I think it's about.
The majority of it.
Yeah, I think it's. I just talked to a guy today who knows. Was it 60%?
Something.
64%?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good part. It's because it helps the common good of the city. And that makes sense to me. I get that.
Okay.
But you're taxing tourists
mm-hmm.
who won't likely take advantage of this. Give me a moment. And they're also going to create a special tax area around the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually will affect negatively people who happen to be around there. Right now, they didn't know they're going to be there, but now they're going to be there.
Right, yeah. If you're doing business on a dirt lot on Russell and the 15, oh, absolutely, you're going to be affected.
Yeah, so why is it fair to tax tourists?
By that logic, let's not tax them at all. Mm-hmm. What are you advocating for, a state income tax? Let's give a break to the tourists?
Well, let's talk about what is reasonable. So let's talk about that.
Scott, every city has a hotel tax.
Hold on, I'm not saying that. But and the hotel taxes for education primarily 66% or whatever that number is.
Okay, that still leaves 36.
Okay, great.
34.
And I don't know where that other money goes to. Do you? Mm-hmm. Do you?
Various things: roads, police.
Great. So which is fine. You got to have infrastructure. I mm-hmm. get it. You have to have education. We suck at education. We, mm-hmm. we should take all of our fucking money and put it we're number 50 out of 50.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe we should do that. Okay.
No
so
one's advocating for that.
Let's look at two other things that have happened, that are taxing tourists, that they're probably not going to take advantage of. So, for example, the Smith Center.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, now I don't know this, but I have been told this by other people, that there was a tax that was taxed on tourists that helped pay for the Smith Center.
Yep, hotels and rental cars.
Okay, oh, good. So I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about that?
I'm fine with it.
You're okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason you're okay with it is why?
Is because people felt there was a need. It's not necessarily my cup of tea. I didn't run out and get season tickets like some other people at this table. But people felt it was a worthwhile endeavor. Certain people like that kind of entertainment. And so they petitioned. They got tourist, you know, or rental car and taxes added to the hotel rooms.
Right.
And they issued bonds and they built it.
Okay, so you think that's okay. So I think it's not okay for the Smith Center. And had I known that, and if it was up for vote, I'd have said no, because it's not. There's no value to the tourist. If the city wants to create, I mean, arguably the Smith Center is a good thing, arguably. It's a beautifully cultural, it's a gorgeous place. It's got neat stuff, and it's open to anybody, and the pricing is reasonable. Anybody can go to the Smith Center if they choose to do it. If you got $25, you can go see a goddamn Broadway show. It's pretty special. But I don't think it was reasonable for tourists to be taxed on that thing. I think, first of all, it wasn't that much money. It was a couple hundred million dollars or whatever it was. Well, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, 1.9
right, yeah,
versus 2. But hold on. You know, these you don't pay this off right away. You pay it off over 30 fucking years. So it's mm-hmm. not like I'm coming up with $900 million in a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's over a 30-year period.
Kay.
So you have to recognize that you're not crushing us. But if the city said, we need to improve downtown, we need to improve the cultural capabilities, we should figure out a way of doing that. I think that's okay.
We do. It's taxes.
Well, hold on.
That, where does government get all of its money from? Taxes.
Yeah, but normally you're taxing the people to whom it affects.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hold on. Let's look at the LVCVA, because this comes up a lot. They're the bigger tax player right now. I think mm-hmm. they're $1.4 billion expansion.
Mm-hmm. You're what happens here stays here, people that you just were
yes.
loving on a minute
now,
ago.
What do you think about that? Good, bad, or indifferent?
Good. A city like this that doesn't necessarily, we're not by the ocean.
Right.
So you need the marketing. You need yeah. the, this is a
this
city.
This is for expansion. This is for expanding, basically knocking down the Riv and growing that giant area to move all the way to the Strip. Mm-hmm. That's what that is.
I'm for it. I'm for both projects.
I'm absolutely for it as well. But here's why. See, where you look at the NFL thing, let's say it's a huge success and people come. They're going to come for a day or two. But when you come to a convention, you're here for 3 or 4 days. And the money generated from that actually helps the people who come here. We're creating a better space for them. So they're investing actually in a thing that they may come back to. That makes sense to me. And it's a big money maker for Las Vegas, for all of Las Vegas. Who profits from the convention center? Everybody mm-hmm. profits from convention center. Every fucking hotel, mm-hmm. every restaurant, we all profit.
Mm-hmm.
Completely makes sense to do this. Who profits from the football stadium?
The same group of people.
Not true.
Absolutely.
Absolutely not.
Bringing visitors into Las Vegas, whether it's for the Concrete Expo or whether it's for Monday Night Football, Scott, a rising tide raises all boats.
Yeah, I'm a believer in that. But here's the thing. If it was true that we would share the same value from a large convention as people going to go play football, why is Sheldon having to pay anything? What's he in it for?
Because he thinks the city needs to. Las Vegas is a their strength, their wheelhouse is kind of this revitalization, or that's not the right word I'm looking for, this constant ability to change and morph and react to what's going on around it. The convention business is saturated right now. And the reason it's saturated is because there's not enough capacity when it comes to hotel rooms. Mm. When you look at hotels in the summer months,
so that's what Allison
summer months,
says.
It's true. The occupancy rates in the summer are around 95%. CES has talked with different hotel people in the area because the room rates are becoming outrageous. And it's not only pricing out regular Tom and Jane from Poughkeepsie who want to get away from the summer, it's also pricing out their own attendees because there's not enough room inventory. Well, then, where are you going to put these people? Let's expand the convention space. You have nowhere to put these people in the summer months.
Why are they expanding the convention space?
You'd have to ask the LVCVA. LVCVA.
It seems unusual that they would. First of all, it completely fails a logic test.
Hold on.
Just give me a second. If I am a company that sells stuff, and I find out that I can't sell enough stuff because the people I house are running out of space, why would I build more places to sell stuff when I can't manage what I already have?
They're trying to expand it, but they're not building rooms.
But that's what I'm saying. Why would I expand my capacity if I'm already at capacity? Why would I do
that? The convention center is... If you build more convention space, obviously you can hold more conventions.
Yeah.
But concurrently, you have nowhere to put those people.
But that's my point. So look at the convention center is about the most plugged-in fuckers you're ever going to meet. There's no goddamn way they're saying, yeah, we want to expand for $1 billion, but we're going to expand into an environment that can't support the people who come here. What the fuck would they be doing that for? There is no logic.
Exactly. That does defy logic. That's why I'm in favor of both, but I agree with Sheldon that the stadium is more important than the convention center at this time.
Well, but the problem with Sheldon saying that, among many things, is he competes with the LVCVA.
So does MGM.
Yeah, but
lots of places
in town.
But
that doesn't change the argument. The argument is he's like, I don't want that to happen. I want to do my stadium thing. Mm-hmm. But he is the second largest convention space in Las Vegas.
Okay.
So what the fuck? Of course he doesn't want his competitors to get bigger.
If anything, wouldn't he be for more convention business if he could get it?
No, listen, that depends on what
his sales
rate is.
If you're telling me he's
rate.
In the convention business,
yeah,
but well, okay, the conventions.
But he's in his convention business. He's not in the LVCVA's conventions. He wants to fill out the fucking sands. He doesn't want to go, oh, yeah, we can take it.
If conventions were so hot, why doesn't he add on? Instead of spending $650 million on a stadium, why doesn't he add some more convention space somewhere?
And that's super easy to figure out because he's got nowhere connected to his property to do that.
Oh, he could knock down the parking garage
behind
them.
He's not
going
to fucking do that. You got to still park the people. And watch this. Have you ever seen a convention that was both an LVCVA and Sands? The answer is yes, by the way. They have done both. So if I do both, and now the LVCVA says, we're going to expand that area so that we could take away business from Sheldon, do you think Sheldon's going to be okay with that? That fucker's going to go insane. He's not happy.
You know what they – I think he's plenty happy. Where's Sands going to put their 17,000-seat concert venue? Why did they decide to do that instead of more convention space?
I have no idea what that is.
If convention space is the hot new must-have.
Fuck if I know.
It's going to be behind it. I think they're taking down an employee parking garage or something along those lines. We're at 95% capacity in the summer months.
Yeah.
Do you know how expensive it is to get a room when there's a big show like SEMA or CES in town? There's nowhere to put these people. 2,100 rooms just came offline when the convention center tore down the Riviera, and those were more of your budget affordable type rooms.
But that's a different argument. If you need more rooms, and if MGM or Sands or Wynn or whoever says, you know what, we're at 95% all the time, which they're not.
No, they're not in the fall months, which is why where the stadium fits in nicely.
They'd build more rooms, and they're not building more rooms because it's not the way that thing works. Let me ask you this. Okay.
They're not building more rooms because nobody's financing casinos right now because gambling revenue's flat.
Okay. Well, but okay, fine. Now I'm going to read a letter on your side. Wayne, you ignorant slut. This is an anonymous letter. He did not want to be acknowledged, but he had a lot to say about your side. He's on your side. He writes, "Hey, Scott, this whole thing goes back to Sheldon Anderson's Adelson's unhappiness with the LVCA that he competes with them, right, and his convention center. Jim Murren wants more convention space." Jim, by the way, is the guy who runs
MGM. Jim Murren then should build himself some more convention space.
While he brags about MGM paying for their own arena, wants a new room tax funded $1.9 billion, or it's $1.4 billion convention expansion. Conventions drive up room rates with the upgrades, smoking bans, solar, and similar. He really wants to target his properties at the convention crowd as they draw higher roommates. And yeah, well, he and every fucking other hotel, so that makes sense. But so who benefits financially from the LVCVA? He says, this writer, Jim Murren, MGM has good presence on the LVC board. Yeah, but everybody, listen, okay, but everybody benefits. If there's a convention and I need rooms, everybody benefits. And that's part of the thing that makes that great. That's the, by the way, that's the concern with the Raiders idea. I actually read, oh yeah, it's going to be publicly owned. Not really. It's going to have a seven-person, who knows, decides who this group of people is. And what they never did say was how the funds get distributed. So let me say this. If I have to put in $750 million over 30 years, and as a result, we get back proven, you know, 1.2% or what, I mean, you know, some improvement, great. Here's the problem with that. There is no stadium in the United States that has done that.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. Bob Beers, who is a congressman or senator here, I forget what his title is.
I think he's like a state legislature.
Yeah, he actually had an interesting thing. There was an article in Deadspin. It was on Business Insider. And he wrote something that was interesting that I really didn't know much about. Public funding would come at an increase in Las Vegas area hotels, room tax, or a special taxation district. We said this. It would be so negligible it wouldn't even be worth concerning with. When people talk like that, you know you're in trouble. And then he writes, sorry, AP, that's deceptive phrasing. Public funding would come from the county government borrowing $750 million cash and handing it over to partners who are not valuing their contribution as cash. In other words, when you go into a partnership, you have to value your investment as cash. We're putting in X, you're putting in Y, and then we're going to divvy it up. They're not doing that. So they're already coming in and saying, we're not going to really show our hands. We're just putting in our money. We'll decide later what the value is. So that's shady. You really can't do, well, you wouldn't do that normally. They're asking us to assume that yet another government surcharge on having fun in Las Vegas doesn't wear out our audience, that we'll be able to charge tourists enough more to pay the annual debt serviced for 30 years. We should have the Raiders for at least half that number of years we're borrowing over. How many years have they just stiffed St. Louis taxpayers for? That, I think, is the big issue here.
It's completely apples to oranges.
Why?
Because do you know what other – I'm not saying the stadium's going to be a moneymaker, but let's take – first I'm going to start with point number one about we're adding more or to keep taxing the tourists some more. The tax rate is 12% on hotels, okay?
Yep.
Do you realize what the tax rate is in comparable or even greater cities nationwide?
I do, and by the way
– Much higher.
No. You're absolutely right, and you are exactly right. I have an email – in our upcoming listener email that compares our pricing to like, and you're absolutely right. It's fascinating. Tough shit. And here's why. Let me just read through this anymore.
So first point is we're well below market value.
Yeah, for sure.
When it comes to hotel taxing.
Yep.
Cleveland, Ohio, I got a whole list of cities. Cleveland, Ohio, Birmingham, Alabama are in the 16% range.
Do you know why?
Does it matter?
Of course it matters. Why do they do that? Why do you think, pick any one that you picked. Why do you think it's so much higher? Volume. They don't have it. So they've got to make it up some way, right? So what we said was, we're going to keep our taxes low so we can get fucking volume at the number of 44 million a year.
1-2% is not, nobody, when somebody decides where to go, they're not looking at the hotel tax rates. We are well below average.
No, I hear you, but it's beginning to be, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. They're adding and adding and adding. So the feedback that I'm getting, the feedback that people are out there, not everybody, the email that I'm going to read later says he agrees completely with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because of just what you said, taxes and everything else, I can get a place here. I can get the same place in fucking, I don't know, New York. It's $100 more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But there's something about what's happening in Vegas that's important to people. There's an emotional value to what's happening in Vegas that is nowhere else. And eventually, we run the risk of pissing people off. I know that you say that. I know that you make that face. But you look at these line after line item after line item, and you're like, wait a minute, that's not the Vegas I have in my head. That's not the Vegas that I think about when I, you know, whatever stays here stays here.
Well,
it's turning into
hindsight's always 2020.
It's turning into picket. Yes,
it's all. Everyone loves to think about the past with the rose-colored glasses. It was so much better when the mob ran the town.
And you've not heard me say that. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm making a gross generalization, though, for your generalization, that you think people that a $1.33, if it's $1.38, if you
it's
do both projects, $1.38 per hundred.
Yeah. No.
If you think $1.38 per hundred when San Diego is $1.60 something per hundred, Denver is $1.58 per hundred, I mean, come on. It's nobody is pricing out, oh gosh, you know what? They upped it 1.38% in Las Vegas. Well, I guess that blows our vacation budget this year. We'll stay home.
You know what? What happens is emotion is important to people. And it's happening now. And I'm not saying that people are not going to MGM because of parking, although I keep getting fucking emails about that. But with resort fees, which are now $30, so resort fees are a good example of that. Mm-hmm. This came up. So it's $30 mm-hmm. a room per night.
The average is 21 in the town, but yeah.
Not on the strip, it's not. It's 33 on
in
the
Las
strip.
Vegas, the average resort fee is $200.
But you can't do both. You either give me the strip ones or give me the rest. On the strip, it's $33. So $33 for a fucking resort fee. Right, so that's one. Now you're going to give me this 12% room tax. Wait a minute. Now you're going to give me another 2% for this. It just adds up. And I will tell you this. When you do look at this after a while, maybe the first time you go, that was unexpected. That was kind of shady, which we hear a lot anyways. Mm-hmm. Maybe I will rethink that play again.
Yep. Maybe I'll go to Orlando and take the family out there.
Yeah.
And guess what? You know what? I'll pay resort fees out there, and I'll pay 16% room tax. It's more expensive.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter, Scott. We're comparing vacation destination to vacation destination.
Right, but I'm not bringing my fucking family here. I'm doing adult stuff here, and I can do adult stuff.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, bullshit.
Right. Why is non-gaming revenue at an all-time high?
It's not that the fucking kids are going to that. It's because the adults are going to that. This is not a family thing here.
Oh,
we played that card. That card failed. That's not what this is. So it's adults making decisions about to come here. So my issue is this. I don't think it's reasonable to tax people who will not take advantage of that fucking property.
Scott, that's a fallacy then. Then you just have complete problems then, I guess, with sales tax and hotel tax in every city in America.
I know.
So you just have ideals, I guess. Wait. Let's reimagine capitalism and how government in a democracy earns money.
Please correct me. What am I thinking wrong here?
It's tax.
Yeah.
If you go on vacation to San Diego and you pay your hotel tax and you pay sales tax while you're out there, what does that benefit you? It doesn't. It goes to the people of San Diego.
No, I understand that for sales tax, but if you're going to add a goddamn, we're going to build a stadium tax, mm-hmm. I might have an issue with that.
That's how we build infrastructure in this town. How else would you like to do it? Are you advocating right now? Are you on the record? You'd like to stay?
No.
Are you starting a petition for a state income tax?
Are you saying that this stadium is the equivalent of infrastructure? It is not.
It brings people in. It is no more or less important than the convention center. It is the city spending money to bring in people and make money.
Do you really believe that the majority of people in Las Vegas think that this stadium is equally as important?
I didn't say it was equally as important. I said they have the same goals.
No, that's what you just said. You just said it's equally as important.
I said the goals are equally important.
Fuck, Wayne, you just said.
The goals are equally important. The goals on both are to bring people in from out of the area and spend money. Yes.
Let's say that I can see that. They may be, in their minds, equally important, but they're not equally as effective. And that's the fucking difference. Why can't a Raiders and a Sheldon and maybe Wynn pops in there? Why can't they do what they did at T-Mobile? And I know that you said that. Oh, yeah, but they're jerking people around
T-Mobile.
With their parking fees.
Oh, T-Mobile's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised MGM hasn't built this stadium yet.
Well, what's the problem with that? Well, actually, seriously, what is the problem?
Let's all have a hand for MGM, who only built 50% of the T-Mobile. They partnered with AEG.
Yeah.
So let's have a hand for them. The first casino on the Las Vegas Strip to institute resort fees.
Yeah.
The first casino to institute paid parking.
Yeah.
The first casino to have a system that no longer comps you drinks based on bartender discretion.
Listen,
they are a fantastic example of where this town should be.
The problem with your, I mean, I get what you're saying.
I'm saying that they're evil. If you want to talk all that's going wrong with Las Vegas, it's you just talked about
they're
people
evil.
Getting line item and line item and line item. You go to MGM, you got the resort fee, you got the parking fee.
Right.
Finally, after you pay all that, and you're like, son of a bitch, and you go down to the casino floor on the Mirage, you don't get a free drink.
Fine. Then don't go there. But that fucking property is profitable, I'm assuming. And even if it's
you know why they're profitable? It's resort fees.
Oh, the fuck it is.
How much do you think MGM made in resort fees in 2015?
Hold on. I'm speaking of just the arena. The reason why business people like what happened with the arena is they self-funded. They found a partner, and they said, we're going to do it. And let's say that part of that big evil plan of theirs was the parking fees. Let's say that, which is fine. That's a decision that anybody can make. I'm not going to go to an MGM property. There's about, 100,000 other rooms I can go to. So I don't have to go to that property because I'm so angry about their parking fees. I don't like the parking fees. I think it's complete fucking bullshit. But they built the building on their own. They didn't ask for
help. No, they built it off their customers, charging them resort fees.
Well, but they did that themselves. And they run the risk of that. And actually, that's what's okay. They ran the risk. I'm going to run the risk of doing that. I'm against it, but they ran the fucking risk. And either it will work or it won't. What they didn't do is say, hey, you, Wayne from Poughkeepsie, I'm going to run a little risk analysis, but part of that is going to be you fucking paying for it. Whether you come to my goddamn city or not, I mean, whether you come to my property or not, I'm going to make you pay for it. Or I'm going to make all you guys here in Las Vegas pay for it. They never did that. And I respect that. Because at least they live or die on the fact that it worked or it didn't work. Of course everybody's going to do paid parking, and it's going to fucking go.
Everyone did resort fees.
Of course they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to
thank MGM.
And it's going to do the same. Yes. MGM is the fucking evil empire. Fine. And our writer here feels the same way. And I don't disagree. Let's call them the evil empire. It doesn't fucking matter because what they did is they said, we're going to take it on ourselves.
And then they're going to keep all the profits.
Well, fuck, they should keep the profits.
Right.
That's what goddamn business is
absolutely
about. Yeah.
So that's apples and oranges to this.
No, it's not, because who keeps the fucking profits? That's the problem. It's secretive. There is no clear indication who gets the money in this fucking arena. And that's the problem. You don't know. And that's a fucking problem.
So the additional events that are going to be held there, that money's just going to disappear, huh?
Those additional events happen in every fucking property, every stadium around the country.
Exactly, except in Las Vegas, because we don't have a stadium.
Well, that's of course bullshit. We've got fucking the MGM Arena. We've got the Mandalay property.
What's that seat?
17,000.
Oh, 17.
Yeah.
Isn't that cute?
It's nice. Here we go. Listen, the question is, why can't they be open about it? That's why I asked, who makes money if the LVCVA makes money? Everybody does. Who makes money if the stadium makes money? Nobody knows. And that's
the stadium authority. It's running.
But nobody, yeah, the seven people who are fucking wearing hoods and nobody sees what they wear, but those are the guys. And the problem is there is nowhere in the documentation that says and this is the problem. This is the distribution of how shit works. We're going to distribute the money. If they'd have said this, all right, you are a 39% entrance, you're 40% interest, and we're 30-30, whatever that, it's actually not quite that, but let's call it that to make the math easy. All right, that means, God bless us, you get 40% of the profit, Nevada, we get 30-30. If they'd have said that and put it in writing and said, we are those numbers, guess what? That's an investment. Now I understand what the fuck they're doing. But they're hiding that.
Because it's too early in the process.
The fuck it is. It's not too early in the process. What they're doing.
They're gauging if there's even interest right now, if they can get the money.
Well, then they're fucking it up. Because the way you gauge interest is you kiss somebody. You don't fuck them and say, yeah, I'm going to fuck you in the ass. Hope you like it.
Oh, really?
And if you don't
How are they doing that? They're coming to meetings asking, get $750 million?
But they're not asking. That's the problem. Well, first they
are
say
asking.
No, they're not.
Can we get $750 million? The answer is either yes or no.
They didn't say can. We said we will get $750
million.
No, the fuck they didn't.
We want $750
Or we're going to walk.
Yep.
That's not asking. That's not asking. What they're saying is this is going to how it be. Okay, sounds great, Sheldon.
So are you in or you out?
How's the money? There's no way you can have that discussion without knowing how's the money distributed. Oh, well, we've got a seven group of people who are going to be magically deciders of that. They're wizards. They got fucking hats. And they have little things that go pink, 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 and lights go on when they touch shit. Oh, those are the guys who are going to do it? And will we get at least 39%? Yeah, we're kind of figuring that shit out. Guess what? Go fuck yourself, because if I am they're basically treating me as an angel investor or a VC. We want you to invest in us. We're going to give you 39% of this $1.9 billion stake. Excellent. Then my return should be two times that. Can't give you that. Then you can go fuck yourself, because in any business deal, if I go to somebody and say, I want you to invest in the Vegas Video Network, what's it worth? It's worth X. Okay. What do I get out of that? I'll give you 20% if you give me this. I mean, 20% of that has me at this. And you get 20% of my profit. Well, then they fucking know. And they can go, that seems like a good deal based upon your revenue flow. But these guys are saying, we would just like all your money. We're going to build over there. We're not going to talk about that extra taxes. We're not going to really tell you what the deal is, how much we bought it for. What if they got that fucking space for nothing? That matters.
Sure.
But they're not telling us. That's the problem. It's too secretive.
Because you're wanting final details on, they want to know if they can even get the money.
They can't. You can't decide that without knowing.
Yes, you can. You can authorize.
No, you can't. Are
they even open to giving us the money? So if you're not open to giving us the money, then thank you very much. We're done here.
Oh, so I could just say this. Yeah, fellas, we're open to it. More details. That's not what they said. What they said was,
nobody can give that authority except for the state legislature.
Yeah, and that's a 60% vote on both state and the House and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
They're
the only people that can say yes.
But they can't make an informed decision. You can't make an informed decision, Wayne.
But you can at least show your you're interested.
That's not what they want. They're not. Oh. They don't want me to come back and go, yeah, so we talked to the legislators, and we're interested.
Clearly, this deal
more.
Is pending, Scott, because what if the NFL says, no, we don't want to move to Las Vegas. They're just going to keep the 750. Why not? Because the deal's not final.
Well, so here's the problem with that. They're saying if you don't finalize the deal from the state, we're done. But I can't finalize a deal if I don't know the details. Any fucking businessman at any level knows that. If I'm out washing cars and I need somebody to buy me a water pumpy thing, and I'm saying I'm going to give you this or that, it's the same thing, it's just scaled much bigger. They're not even giving me the goddamn details. Plus, here's something that's fascinating. So the Review Journal, owned by Adelson, has instructed their reporters to ask every single candidate running right now whether they support the arena or not.
Okay.
Which is reasonable, right?
I don't know how this is germane, but...
Oh, well, I'll tell you how it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm a reporter.
Welcome to Media Ethics with Professor Scott.
No, yeah, this is actually a media ethics huge issue, which is why they are fucking themselves. So there's from the top down, from the mountain down, they said, every time you speak to a candidate at all levels, mm-hmm. from here to here, mm-hmm. you have to ask them, you know, what's your stance on this?
Sure. Right?
Great. We are not in any way going to report this.
Okay. I still don't see an issue.
You don't?
The man
Let me help
owns
you.
It and controls it.
Let me help you with
it. It's
that.
His money. Again, why are you telling people what they can and can't do with their money?
Let me help you with why that's an issue. If I went to Senator Wayne and said, hey, how are you feeling about that? Well, I'm on it. I think it'd be great for the place, and I'm completely supportive, just like I'm supportive of the Smith Center. I'm like, okay, that's going to go in our report, in our little table of Wayne says this. That's good, right? Mm-hmm. That's not what they're doing. They're just keeping it by their pocket.
Okay.
They're holding it.
You realize it's a private business, right?
Yeah. Do you think? No. But here's the problem. No,
you don't realize it's a private business?
Here's the difference between it. It is a public voice.
It's a private business.
It's a public voice.
And is it state run?
That's different.
Is it government run?
It doesn't matter.
Is it NPR?
It's a
is it PBS
voice.
How many public dollars does it get?
So quite a fit from advertising, although that's going to go down. The issue is this. If I'm using it as a big fucking stick, as a threatening stick later on, that's an unfair use of the press. Yes or no?
It's a private business.
Is it unfair to use the press as a fucking bully pulpit? The answer is yes. It's not fair. It's not fair because I can have all my fucking minions who are terrified of me write all kinds of nasty shit about Counselor Smith because he didn't like what I want.
Right.
Is that fair?
Well, it's going to have to be true in some way or else you got slander and libel laws.
No. Well, they can say, oh, he's this and he's just like this and I'm going to go hunting after them just like he's done before. Go hunt after that fucking judge and do some work about that. That's the problem with what this guy is.
Don't buy the product.
But I'm not buying the product.
Okay.
And I'm trying to stop other people from being forced to buying the product.
Who's forced to buy the review, the RJ?
I'm speaking of the actual arena now. Last word.
Last word is it's apples and oranges. The reason why you cannot compare this to other stadiums is because other cities, and especially that John Oliver piece that you posted, they're talking about Cincinnati, Miami. There are some other cities. Those are areas where they've already got the team, and the team is either threatening to leave and extorting more money, or they just want a newer stadium built. We do not have that in Las Vegas. There is no venue in this town, indoor or outdoor, that seats over 40,000 people. That is a hole in a city that is trying to diversify itself from gambling, which has been flat or down since 2008.
Okay.
So if you want to be in a city that thrives on people coming here and thrives on being an event destination, you need to have event destination sites.
Okay. And the stadium's going to solve all our problems.
Did I say that? I said it's a hole in something we don't have.
Okay.
How can we be a city that's trying to lure people in when there are other cities around us that have nicer toys? You've got to be the nice... Listen, no one's coming here to swim in the beautiful waters of Lake Mead because I don't think there's enough water to swim. I think you would probably scrape on the bottom.
They are swimming in the pools of Lake Mandalay Bay, though.
You can't be a top tourist destination.
Let me just tell you
something. If you don't have top tourist destination attractions.
This thing is not going to be that big a deal.
But it still needs to happen.
Well, so your prediction is it will happen. Right, the live chat's all over the place. A lot of people are saying, no way, and the fucking stadium never gets built because blah, blah, blah. But other people are like, Scott, you're a god, but I think you might be wrong here. All right. Excellent. This went 55 minutes.
Much. I didn't even get into some of my best stuff.
Much, yeah, and I'm like, me too. I'm like, all right, I've had enough.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is a Living in Las Vegas podcast. Invest in the convention center and go fuck the people over there. Bye.
Do both.
Yeah, fuck, I don't know, whatever. We'll see.
Fuck 33.
Here we go. Okay, this show's going long, so we're gonna rip through this stuff. We're gonna pass up on live chat questions, and we may even pass RQS. We'll see. But we're gonna do this question because, or this email, because it actually speaks to a big point for Wayne. And I'm not afraid to say that was an interesting point. So Stuart wrote this, and I'm going to let you read this because it's basically on your side.
Following on from the various discussions about add-on costs in Vegas compared to other cities, resort fee, car parking, etc., I thought I would do the best room rate comparisons I could think of. I looked at the total cost of the cheapest room type available at a Mandarin Oriental in various cities across the U.S. and the world. These hotels vary, but they have a common standard. I picked a random day, the 30th of August. The following are the costs in U.S. dollars. Base cost divided by total cost, including all fees and taxes. Yep. It's interesting that in my sample, the cheapest in the U.S. is Vegas, and the cheapest worldwide is Macau. Spot anything in common?
I do.
The Singapore Mandarin is close to the big Marina Bay Sands Hotel Casino. That's probably why that is cheaper. I don't mind paying parking fees, etc., in Vegas if I get a good quality hotel for around a third of the same quality cost of a hotel in New York, Paris, Boston, etc. And then he lists out different cities.
Pick a few because they're interesting.
So Las Vegas is his lowest, $229.
And they, but what was it with all the taxes and shit?
$292.
There you go. So $229, $292.
Miami, $259, $292. Washington, $335, $383. New York City, $795, $915.
Is there a California one?
There is not.
Okay.
Then Paris, 977, 987. Barcelona, 642. So, I mean, yeah, but Vegas, his point is that at the
his
same
point
brand,
is your point.
Excuse me, Vegas is cheaper.
Yeah. That was the first time I've had somebody say, let me just do the math. And I thought that was interesting math. And listen, I always come back to Newport Beach. I had to do some family business down there, and I had to stay down there. And fuck, we were paying $35 a day for parking. And we stayed there once, and we never went back because it was 35 days for parking. So I get it. I get what they're saying. I get what Stuart is saying. Don't piss off the people, though, man. Just help me out. All right.
If everywhere else is pissing them off.
We'll just
you
got to
keep up with the Joneses. That's what we're doing right now.
No, but we didn't. But we didn't. Okay, hold on. Okay, so I got to calm down. Fucking getting heart palpitations and you take a fucking Xanax. We don't have to. That's what made us special. That's just what made us special. We've lost our cool. And
we have, that happened decades ago.
No, it didn't. It happened 5 years ago.
It happened in 2008 when they started resort fees.
There you go. So that's 5 years. Fine. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. But that's when it happened. And I'm like, God damn it, that's a goddamn shame because this was such a great escape place. Okay.
Just quick, because I just have to ask, because I found this, I calculated this statistic myself.
You have to have this number.
I do. What do you think MGM pulls in resort fees? You can either do it by a day or by a year.
I don't know. Tell me.
Take a guess.
I don't know. Couple dollars.
Couple dollars?
Probably doing it right.
In a day.
But that's not just MGM. It's every property, so go ahead.
I know, but they started it, so I figured that's why I went with them.
It doesn't matter if they started it. Everybody did it because it got done.
By them.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If I poke you in the eye all day, it doesn't mean everybody's going to poke you. Well, they might poke you in the eye, but they're not going to do it because it doesn't make sense. If it makes sense, it makes sense. Go ahead. How much is a resort fee?
So
it's completely not germane to this fucking conversation we just had, but go ahead.
No, I want people to know how much it brings in, because you're such a big T-Mobile Arena guy. T-Mobile Arena cost them $187.5 million to build.
That's not very much.
Right?
Good deal.
Isn't it?
Whoever built that should build the fucking stadium.
It's a great deal. Well, that was only 50% because they split it. So they still got money to burn.
It's still $300 million.
They brought it. No, it's $187.5.
Okay, so $160, whatever it is.
They bring in approximately $285 million a year in resort fees.
Boom. Okay, guess what? Vegas Video Co-op now has a studio fee.
There you go.
And now I'm all set.
Yep.
All right. Real quick stories. Let's see what we're going to do. I was going to talk about my beta testing thing. We have no time. Hey, Ray Flavin. I didn't do this last week. There it is. Flavin for state's attorney. Ray Flavin is a longtime follower, fan of the Vegas Video Network. He knew us back when we were just audio. We've had many a drink. He and his wife introduced us to the Moscow Mule at Urban Rye. And Ray, and I'm not sure what he's thinking here, but he is running for state's attorney at Illinois. Now, I think that running for public office is insane. And if you do run for it, you have the balls of Magellan.
16.39% hotel tax
anywhere.
In Illinois.
Good talk. Thanks for that. And Ray's going to drop that down to 14%.
Okay.
That's part of his...
So after we pass both, they'll still be higher.
Part of his campaign. Okay, 12.5. That's where he's going. But here's the thing about Ray. We've joked about him being the living in Las Vegas attorney on call. He's a fun guy. He's a smart guy. And he's a Democrat, which doesn't work with me. But I support him. For a couple of reasons.
Your boy Jim Murren's a Democrat now.
Yeah, that's fucking lovely.
When you see him at T-Mobile, you guys can hash it out.
Yeah, he and I don't chat a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't get a lot of invites to Jimmy's big gumbo hangout. Anyways, so here's the thing about Ray. If you're in Illinois and you're allowed to vote for him. Why? Actually, he has integrity. He's actually smart. He's experienced. But here's the best part. Here's his shirt, Flavin for state attorney. Now, Ray is a long hair hippie.
Sure.
Okay, that's probably not his slogan, but he's got super long hair.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wear his shirt, you get the ponytail too. That's right. Magic right there.
That's not bad.
That's magic.
I would totally fly out there and vote for him, but I'd have to spend the night, and at 16.39%, it's a little steep for my taste.
Fuck off. So tired of you. This is what happens to me when
I'm just a typical American, just looking at my hotel taxes before I decide where to vacation.
You be careful with that. We matter. Don't tax the fucking tourists. God damn it. Why can't the rich people just fucking do it?
What I hear is you want to repeal 12% hotel tax, and you want to institute state income tax.
Those are apples and oranges, as you're so very
you
fond
just
of
said
saying.
Stop taxing tourists.
No. Why can't, for this particular example, why can't they just buy it themselves? Why hasn't Wynn come in? He's got money.
Mm-hmm.
They've approached him. Why did he pass?
You'd have to ask Steve.
Do you think
there's probably not enough
money
in it?
Is there a business?
Why is there not enough money in it?
Because there's not enough
fucking
money in it.
Because the Raiders are only going to occupy 10 dates, and the rest are going to be available for rent.
Do you think they're only going to get 10% of that revenue?
Of the Raider game revenue, yeah.
That's not what I asked. Do you think that the Raiders will only get 10% of the revenue that comes into that property? There's no fucking way they're going to get a lot more than that.
They're going to get almost all of it that they generate.
No.
Yeah, he says yes.
No.
This is yes.
I get that.
Uh huh.
But how about the tractor pull?
Okay.
You think they're going to get any of that?
The Raiders? No.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think they're going to get a penny of that? Fuck that. Of course they are.
Why would they?
Because no one is going
to. They're the Raiders.
Okay, hold on.
You know they're going to lease the stadium, right? They're going to pay rent.
No one is going to. No one's going to put $500 million into something that they only get 10 events from. Wayne. No one is going to spend $500 million that they only get
Scott,
revenue
by your
from
own admission,
events.
They're not putting in $500 million.
Yes, they are.
No.
No. You know what I mean. You understand what I'm saying. They're not going to manage $500 million, only get 10 events out. That's not going to happen.
Yes.
Well, that's, and that's
as
the problem.
As you just said,
that's the problem.
The Raiders aren't coming with $500 million.
The problem is nobody knows. Okay, moving forward. Hey, look at this guy right here. Take a good look at him. Get used to him. He's going to be a regular. Yay! I'm sorry. That gun was an accidental gunshot.
Are we on Boulder Highway? Did you change the location of the studios?
Friendly fire. Sorry about that. Wayne is going to be my semi-permanent co-host. We'll be having him here at least twice a month. He's here this month because he wanted to get my shit about the stadium. I'm super happy to have Ray here. Wayne here. Wayne is, you got me all fucked up because you're
super crazy. Happy to have your Ray t-shirt on this week.
Right.
And I'm sure Ray's super happy because you promised it last week.
I know. And he's probably not even the live chat. He's like, fuck him. Wayne has been a contributor to the Vegas Video Network here's the thing. This is interesting. In LinkedIn, they're like, congratulations on your anniversary. And it's the 6-year anniversary for the Vegas Video Network when I started building it. We actually launched on October of 2010. I don't know. It was probably an hour after that. Wayne showed up and said, hey, can I do some stuff? I'm like, fuck, yeah, you can do some stuff. Mm-hmm. And Wayne's background is a degree in TV production.
Television,
and,
yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And he was super helpful, and then he was a funny guy, and he's a pretty smart fella. A little bit on the Democrat side. You gotta give him a little zippity-zippity-zap-zap for that. Yeah. But he did a couple of commercials for us. So mm-hmm. I'm super happy to have Wayne playing along with us. I think it'll make my life easier, which is good. And
because that's what I'm all about. I wake up every day and I say, first off, thank you, Jesus and baby Jesus, for another day. And second off, how can I make Scott Whitney's life easier?
Finally, somebody's doing that because really in my life, nobody thinks that. And I need somebody to think that. Actually, Rosie the intern has been done a pretty good job of helping me thinking that thought. Okay. The best part of this is Wayne is going to be responsible for coming up for topics for the new shows.
You told me you find that out.
Well, I just wanted to kind of share that with you. Way to go. Way to go, Ray. Way to go, Wayne.
By the way, I will need my own air conditioning unit. Take it or leave it.
It's right there. You fucking.
I'm non-negotiable.
Really?
On the air conditioning.
That's good.
And a green room. Yeah. I need a makeup budget, wardrobe credit allowance, obviously. And I'm, again, non-negotiable. Otherwise, thank you very much, respectfully. But I'll move on to.
What's funny about that?
I don't know, TMZ.
Here's what's funny about that. Even you know what a cocky little move that is.
Never drink on me. Never drink on me.
Come on.
Yeah.
Wayne wants the brown M&M separated, as he should.
I do. I don't like red. They make my cheeks blush. They do.
Do they?
True story.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they did when I was a kid.
Come again?
So the red M&Ms.
Red dye number 40.
Red dye number 40. Yeah, it makes my cheeks blush.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. Oh. I'm sure it's partially genetically engineered.
Yeah.
Which is probably why.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time for Have a Drink. I mean, it's part of the show where I show you a picture of a bar or a speakeasy or a pub, and you have to guess what it is. And if you do guess, you can win many groovy prizes. Oh, I don't trust you, and I certainly don't trust the new guy who wants to build a stadium on the backs of the people who actually build our great country. But let's hear what he has to say. Okay, fair enough. Stand by. Wait, get that crystal nasty shit over there. Hey,
tastes
Wayne.
Like childhood. Scott.
Wait, hold on. If somebody wants to, win, what might they win?
Lots of different prizes available on Have a Drink on Me. First off, but certainly not best off, the Vegas Video Network. It depends. Personal preference. You just wait. First off, but not best off, the Vegas Video Network visor. If you work in an environment where there's no air conditioning, you'll enjoy the fact that there's no top on the visor so that your hair can blow in the semi-fanned wind. Next up, but not necessarily best up, but more of up, is the Scott Whitney collection. It's not signature series, but for a little extra fee, he'll make it happen for you.
I do that with everybody, by the way.
Gajazzathon, Crisp Acoustic, and Crisp Acoustic 2 can be yours. It's coming quicker than you would think it would. But certainly, if you want the ultimate in prizes, if you want to take your tickets up to the counter and point to the big teddy bear at the top, you can have a drink with Mr. Scott Aaron Whitney. I don't know, is that really your middle name?
No.
Okay.
Aaron.
Seemed like it might be.
It's close. Andrew.
I had the A right. I thought it was an A.
Okay, that was nice.
I mean, to be fair, I haven't checked your background in like 6 weeks.
That's fucked up. By the way, here's the thing that's really bad about that. He can check my background every 6 weeks. Now, we're not supposed to talk about that, so we're not gonna. But my credit score is pretty good, isn't it?
You'll tell you what. Your track record of on-time payments?
It's very good, isn't it?
Impeccable.
You don't get this by being a fuck-up.
Exactly.
Right? Okay, Here we go. 20 out of 20. For last week's Have a Drink on Me. Let's take a look at what last week's Have a Drink on Me. Oh, I'm sorry. Made a couple mistakes. First of all, Wayne, if somebody wants to send an email and be a part of this fun, where do they send that email to?
They can send that email to Have a Drink. That includes all the vowels. HAVE. Capital A. Although a lowercase will probably get you there if your shift key's broken. DRINK. Again, at Vegas Video Network, all the vowels this time, .com. Have a drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Okay, now magic happens. You know this. We have it. You used to have it. You've kind of let it go. There's some remnants of your magic later on in the pictures.
Oh, I still have it.
Really fascinating. No one would know
Scott,
that.
You got so I bought one Raiders hat, and you just got so jealous.
No, what you do is you wear one Raiders hat, and you've askewed me. Mm. But here's a great part. We're not only about music or drinks.
No. I mean, that's a big part of it, but
it's
64% of it.
Right. Or just a simple sun-covering mechanism. No, 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 no. We're about putting you as part, if you get a visor, as part of the galaxy of God. There is Mike and Scott and Pinky and Bud, Alan and Arizona and Aaron, who is clever and their newest, and then there's Bob, and of course Bob's wife. There's Danny and Shane, not Chan, and Craig, Vegas Dog. There's Gwen, who wants to fly like an eagle. There's Jimmy and Rob, and there is our buddy in Hawaii. And Stuart, Christine's babies are because of me, but not literally of me. More about my music, and then of course there's Don. And wait, there's Jackie and White. Look out! Bob's is a god, and there is Sammy and Carol and a dog. Chris is still in my backyard, and Brett's dad, Buddy Scott. You know a man you love. Your buddy Wayne, and of course we cannot forget Brett. Thank you. So you can get multiple ways of playing. If you get one correct answer, that's one. If you're in the live chat, you get a second. If you send in a graphic of the Vegas video, of the Gajazzathon CD, or a video of the Gajazzathon CD in the wild.
Why just Gajazzathon?
Hey, fuck, you could do Crisp Acoustic
too. Okay.
I'm easy. Then you're going to get a trickle.
Do Crisp Acoustic 2 or Crisp Acoustic?
Either one of them.
Okay.
I'm easy like Sunday morning. All right? Mm-hmm. You follow me on that? Okay, here we go. Let's look at last week's Have a Drink on Me. There it is. And the clues were...
It's located in Paris.
That's right.
It's called Napoleon's.
Lounge.
And...
Or Napoleon's.
And listen to... Go back and rewind the show. And
that was weird.
And so listen, re-listen to clues 1 and 2 if you haven't gotten it by now.
Right. And by the way, the clue about the Neapolitan ice cream was a fucking joke. So I got people going, it's not Neapolitan. But I said it's not what it is. So come on, people. Pay attention. All right. We got
20 blur.
20 out of 20. 20 out of 20. Ready? Where's my hat?
That's a bottle. It's a wine glass.
Thanks.
It's a visor. Hey, that's a hat.
Super helpful.
Good job, buddy. I need to get it. I need to get it eventually.
You ready? Let's go. Number one. The number one entry, Jimmy Gallagher. Jimmy two G's. He gets one for the correct answer. Jimmy gets another one for being in the live chat. And well, he gets one for being there. Yeah. And he gets one for being the first correct answer. So he gets a triple.
Finally, the breeze did something.
That was fun. All right, next up. Barb Shotness from Wisconsin. So I see her. One for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. Barb. Barb S. from Wisconsin. Barb and her husband, Chet, are playing it like they're big bosses. She got a double. Chet, one for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat. So they now created four possible entries for the Shotnesses. Wow. That's how you play this game, ladies and gentlemen. As long as you get in the hat. Penny Gregory.
Gale Force wins pointed at the computer.
Plymouth. Yeah, and you're a bitch and there was no win. Plymouth. Penny Gregory from Plymouth Gregory. Or Plymouth Gregory. Plymouth, North Carolina gets one in there. Rob C. Pittsburgh. Rob 068. I think Rob's in the live chat. I saw him. Let me see. There he is. One for the correct answer. One for the live chat. Erin Perry from Prescott, Arizona. Erin, by the way, did the graphic that you see up. Nope, she doesn't get another one.
Oh. Rob.
Where's Aaron?
I didn't put it in yet.
Oh, I thought you did. Don't put Aaron in. But I will say
this is my first time.
She did that one over there, and she did some. She's the world's greatest card maker.
Prescott, Arizona, you say, huh?
I did. Andy Schulman from New Hampshire. And he gets
13.6% hotel tax in Prescott.
Such a dick. No, it's not that much more over us. All right. And I've given up on you. Such a douche.
Yes.
Steve I from Prescott, from Michigan. Steve I gets one for the correct
Only
answer.
Only took 6 years.
Steve gets one more for being in the live chat. Hey, live chat people, does any of this piss you off about this whole stadium thing? Probably not.
Pops was heated.
Kevin Whipp from Canada, Calgary, if you will.
Calgary, Alberta.
He gets one for the correct answer. We're moving on. Mike.
I'm with Brett Hitman Hart.
Mike Lazowski, Mad Chipmunk. He gets one for the correct answer. Mad Chipmunk gets another one for being in the live chat. Way to go, Mad Chipmunk. And Mikey Q, always in the live chat. Huge supporter from Portland. One for the correct answer. Mike Q, one for being in the live chat. Way to go, fellas. Rosie the intern. Rosie writes, I know I can't win. Wrong.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
Yeah.
She wins because she gets to work with me.
Oh.
You know, when I first met Rosie, she wasn't much of a drinker. Guess what? She's a fucking lush now.
She's in a 12-step program.
She does inventory. You know, Scott, I think you need some more Crown. Why? I think we're okay. No, Rosie needs a little drink because you're kind of making it hard on me. One for the correct answer, one for being
stumbling
alive.
Like she just walked out of an Outback.
Right. Can I have another big pour? Yes, you can, Rosie. You get Rosie in there?
Oh, again? For two?
Yeah, she gets two because she's in the live chat.
Is she?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Rosie.
Rosie of Lost
Vegas. Never met her.
She's a lovely gal.
Oh, but she just blew away.
Sorry,
like Rosie. A delicate flower.
She is like a flower. Yeah. Joe Meeks, who knows is known as Joanne. By the way, she says our place, hold on, there it is Trey Chic.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, la la.
Why not? So she gets one for being in the right correct answer. Gary Romberg, Mr. Testy, writes, any feedback on the MGM parking fees? Yeah, actually there was. Everybody really likes them. I think it's a
they
big
do.
Hit.
They MGM do. Loves it. They're making $67.5 million a year in parking
So I think
revenue.
It's a big hit. I think everybody's going to embrace it. I hope it helps fund everything that we ever do here. Maybe we'll have a racetrack. Fuck, I hope that we have clowns running up and down the street. So any feedback on the parking?
They already got that. It's called Circus Circus.
Right. More or less. Okay. Craig Tapscott. Don't forget Ray's shirt. Got that shit. I think that's Gregor Tapas.
That shirt, a lot of absorbency in that
shirt.
Yeah,
I'm sweating like a pig, right? It's because I'm giving you all the fan, you big young bastard.
Yeah, I'm just, do you see my hair blowing?
Greg Tap, one for the correct answer, one for, I think he's in the live chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, there he is. Okay. All right, continue on. Brian writes, Scott, this week's Haddam location is the Neapolitan Lounge inside the Paris at Las Vegas. Quite ironic that I would participate since
I'm not. Did you just say the Neapolitan Lounge?
Or Napoleon. I probably did say Napoleon. I really like that ice cream.
It's you got a little, you know, you got a little everything.
Vanilla. It's a little chocolate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little strawberry.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's the beginning.
It's a three-way?
It's a beginning.
It's an ice cream three-way?
It's a beginning of banana split. Okay. Quite ironic that I would participate since I'm a non-drinker. But I would love to get my hands on one of those cool jazz CDs. Fun. Love the show and your eclectic array of guests. Best wishes to Brett. Miss his funny banter. Yours truly, Brian, the non-alcoholic guy.
Oh, how's he stomach this show then?
Right? Next up, Michael Snow. Michael writes.
We got a little of that.
My fan
that,
is kicking ass.
What's that tropical storm that's going to hit North Carolina soon? It's blowing through here first.
8 or 9.
Michael says, I don't want to send 3 emails, but it's either Napoleon's Lounge, Napoleon's Piano Bar, or Napoleon's Dueling Piano Bar at the Paris Casino.
Correct. Well done. So Michael Snow gets 1 for the correct answer, 1 for being in the live chat. Next up, we have Alan Perry. Alan is a longtime contributor both to the live chat and to the alcohol that we drink here. He brings the fancy shit. He's not screwing around. Alan writes, hey, Scott. The Haddam Bar this week is Napoleon's Piano Bar. I'm having a little bit of a problem saying Napoleon's as opposed to Neapolitan. Love this week's clues. Clue number 2 was about the type of ice cream led me to an unexpected direction. I remember a bar at the Cosmopolitan called the Neapolitan. Oh! See when you should have zagged. It was an outdoor bar at the Boulevard Pool that made drinks with ice cream. I think the place has been renamed and rethemed. Really? Shocking. But that doesn't fit the rest of the clues. The picture in the bar makes it obvious. It's Napoleon's Dueling Piano Lounge. It's Alan Perry from Prescott, Arizona. He gets 1 for the correct answer and 1 for being in the live chat.
16.69% hotel tax in Prescott.
Is this going to go on for a long time or
just this show?
For the long that you're going to be on the show. Did you give him a second one?
I already did.
Attaboy.
Because I've been talking with him.
Yeah, okay, that's great.
Me and Alan.
Moving forward. Like Brett Barnes. Brett writes.
Brett writes,
whoops.
Dear Scott, great show.
Thanks.
I'm thinking Pick Your Poison is my favorite episode next to Chris's 2 segments.
Right.
Again, show compared to segments. But
right.
Yeah.
One of those 2 damn near killed me.
Mm.
The other one, well, damn near
was
killed
with Chris.
Yeah, right.
This week's Haddam is Napoleon's in Paris.
Yes, it is.
Thanks from Brent in Paradise, California.
Thank you, Brent. Paradise, California. There goes 1 for the correct answer. And next up, we've got Craig Daughtry, also known as Vegas Dog 222. Craig writes, Scott, what's up? Back to the trusted email entry this week. Since my video entry didn't make it in time for last week's show, feel free to throw an extra entry into the...
Tomahawk said
that's
no.
Not how we play, Craigie. You got to get it in when you got to get it in. Mm. It's very much like how sexual intercourse works among...
people that are eating Neapolitan?
People. Who need people. This week's Adam is Napoleon's Lounge Paris. Vegas Dog out. He gets 1 for the correct answer. Craig gets another 1 because he's in the live chat. Vegas Dog 222. Okay. And finally, you know him, you love him. Arguably one of the greatest guys. I got to just say this before I put this out there.
Please, Scott, you're flattering me.
This Craig... When you do a show like this, you would like a few people to like it. That would be great.
Mm.
And a few people like our show. We do all right. But here's the grooviest thing in the whole world. Among the grooviest. Pops, who's out there in Florida, he's building green screens. He's doing these. He actually has his own video channel on YouTube.
Oh.
And you know what he does on this video channel?
Softcore porn.
Nothing wrong with that. And I'm not judging if that's what he does do.
The artistic kind.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Soft focus. Larger nipples. What's wrong with me? No, he does videos of him playing slot machines. And somehow he's allowed to shoot these.
Hmm.
And when he gets bonuses, and he's got like 100,000 fucking viewers. But you know what he does? He inserts a Living in Las Vegas ad at the end of these videos. You know what? That's godlike.
It is.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Pops.
Hey, kids. Pops here with Gajazzathon to tell you that this week's correct Haddam answer is Napoleon's at Paris. It's not Neapolitans. It doesn't have anything to do with ice cream. And Wayne was correct. That was a crappy, crappy clue.
Fuck, it was a joke.
It's okay. We understand Scott can be confused because one week he was hanging out getting
Scott's always been confused about
Chris Phillips. And the next week he was hanging out with celebrity movie stars at the Art Jazz. Question is, what the fuck was Travolta doing at the Arches? Oh, I see. Having
these nuts!
Very well done.
No wonder you had that imported meat and cheese flown in. You had John Travolta over.
I got JT coming in. He's like,
hey, question, how are your thetan levels?
How my thetan levels?
Yeah.
What's a thetan?
Well, Scientology. He didn't sign you up while he was here?
Yeah, well, he and I didn't really talk about that.
Oh.
One for the correct answer, one for the video, one for the live chat. Pops, pops, pops.
I thought that was like the first thing those people did.
He did that, but you know what? I dunked him. Get in, you bitch. Get in the water. He's a good swimmer, by the way. He's no Michael Phelps, but who is?
Yeah.
He's more of a Lockie guy.
Oh, I could with the hair. I could see that. Yeah. I love Pulp Fiction, though. My favorite movie ever.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice. I watched it like about a
month. I've got a little Winston Wolfe on my desk.
Who's Winston Wolfe?
I can't think of the actor's name.
Is that the Gimp?
No. Harvey Keitel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Remember he rings the doorbell?
I do.
Says, you Jimmy? He says, yeah. He says, you got a problem? Yeah, I solve problems.
Yes, I remember that. What do we got?
We've got.
It's all you, baby.
In the envelope. Yeah, the Oscar goes to. The MTV Video Music Award goes to.
Barb Schottness, everybody.
Oh, there we go. Covering the player.
Congratulations, Barb. Can I have that? Barb will send you an email that allows you to win again. She's a multiple winner. Why? Because she's playing the game like a pro.
You mentioned it. She was the one with the four entries, right?
Yeah, she's smart. She's not messing around. Okay, let's look at this week's Have a Drink on Me.
Or just not look and listen to the clues. Oh, I know where that is, too.
Do you really?
Gosh,
write it down.
Just on fire.
I've not been to this place. I see. No. Oh, Mr. Funny Smart Guy is wrong.
Not there?
No.
Oh.
Oh, here we go. Clue number one.
Oh, boy. Buckle up.
You used to need one of these things to make alcohol. You used to need one of these things to make alcohol. There actually might be a picture of one somewhere buried in that picture. Hit number two. If I ask you not to move, then you'll stay this.
Oh, jeez.
If I ask you not to move, you'll stay.
You know what I should have done? Forget the air conditioning. Forget the wardrobe allowance. I get to make up the clues for Adam.
Really?
I'm non-negotiable.
Fine. Good. I work four fucking hours.
Oh, don't even. Don't even.
Right. You go ahead. You know what? Next week, because you're back next week.
Are those like Mercury hours?
Hey, tough guy. Next week, you come up with the Haddam and the clues.
Done.
I release you of that. No, done. I actually don't release you. I give you that. Hit number three. This is especially funny.
Does it involve Neapolitan ice cream? Because I'm walking if it does.
Don't worry about that loud noise outside. If it's Friday night, it only happens three times. You're at this bar. You hear a loud noise outside. You're like, it's Friday night. It only happens three times. If you know the name of this here place, all you got to do is send an email to Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com.
All the vowels included.
Have a drink with all the vowels because We're not skipping.
Capitalize it or don't. It doesn't matter.
We're agnostic. Thank you, everybody. Thank you there, Wainsky. Sure hope your stadium goes through.
I'll see you in the black hole, Scott.
Okay. Yeah. That,
again,
I told you.
I'm doing my Christmas shopping early. What size do you wear in spiked shoulder pads?
Fuck off. It's the size I wear. F-O. Fuck off. By the way, I haven't even talked about the Raiders as a fan. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. Yeah, that's not even pretty. Hey, we're on all kinds of places. Hey, if you want to leave us a voicemail, and we would love to hear your dulcet tones, because goddammit, you're a beautiful singer. You're going to go to our website. You click that little link on the right side, and that will bring up a little menu-y thing, and you'll click start recording, and then you will be talking to us because you, sir, have a microphone attached to your computer. Hey, we're on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. We're on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up. Share us with all your buddies.
Hell, give us 2 thumbs up.
Hell yeah, why not? We're on the Roku, 32,200 account installs. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple, Google, and Fire TV. You can get us on the Google Play and, of course, the Vegas Video Network. I'm Scott. That there's your Wainster. Thank you so much for playing along with you guys, or us guys. We'll see you guys next week on the Vegas Video Network, living in Las Vegas, where he's doing Haddam.
I can't believe how
happy I am about that. We'll see you guys next week. Huh?